Good morning to one and all. I'm so happy to be coming your way again with some more thoughts on Job. I like this text. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job 1:1. One step more. What though before me it is dark, too dark for one to see? I ask but light for one step more. 'Tis quite enough for me. Each little humble step I take, the gloom clears from the next. So, though 'tis very dark beyond, I never am perplexed. And if sometimes the mist hangs close, so close I fear to stray, patiently I wait a little while, and soon it clears away. I would not see my further path, for mercy veils it so. My present steps might harder be, did I the future know. It may be that my path is rough, thorny, and hard, and steep. And knowing this, my strength might fail, through fear and terror deep. It may be that it winds along a smooth and flowery way, but seeing this, I might despise the journey of today. Perhaps my path is very short, my journey nearly done, and I might tremble at the thought of ending it so soon. Or, if I saw a weary length of road that I must wend, fainting I'd think, my feeble powers will fail me ere the end. And so, I do not wish to see my journey or its length, assured that through my Father's love, each step will bring its strength. Thus, step by step, I onward go, not looking far before, trusting that I shall always have light for just one step more. In speaking of Job, we might refer to James. He mentioned Job. So, Job's life was a blessing to others. His suffering is an inspiration to those who may wonder when the end to their suffering will come. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James 5:11. We have considered five tests so far, which Job has successfully passed. I know God, by this time, must be pouring in more grace, preparing Job for the final test. And, of course, Satan was doing his best to cause him to fall from the favor of God. So, an abundance of grace was needed. Patience. How smooth the sea beach pebbles are. But do you know, the ocean worked 100 years to make them so? Job's sixth test was intellectual. One of the most subtle tests is the bewilderment of doubt. Job had friends which came to him hurling accusations and insinuating questions at him. They attempted to show him that he was bad and there was nothing to his faith, for adversity had come to him. Apparently, the religions of the East held that prosperity is a mark of divine pleasure, but adversity is evidence of a wicked life. So, they tried to make him out bad because of his changed conditions. And they had that air of superiority. At first, they did not come right up to Job to comfort as a friend would, but instead stood off at a distance and looked at Job and then turned away. Of course, they were supposed to be superior with a great deal of intellect. They had learning. And this brings another thought. The young folks of our day are faced with educated professors having this air of superiority about them, and they are endeavoring, quite often with great success, to instill into the thoughts and minds of young students this series of evolution, of sexual permissiveness, which would lift the Bible restrictions on loose living and let them have so-called freedom of thought and action. The devil is competing for the minds of folks today. This is so very deceptive. He comes as an angel of light, but in reality he is a demon and the god of this world. Be reminded that not everyone who can speak smoothly is of God. Listen, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. 2 Peter 2:18. The 19th verse goes on to say, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome are the same as he brought in bondage. It has been said, there are no fools like educated fools. These are those educators who know little or nothing of God in their own lives. They've never been born from above. That touch of the Holy Spirit that quickens and illuminates, they have never experienced. They've never been converted nor spiritually awakened from their dead state of a life in sin. So today, many highly educated deviants, if I may so call them, appear so wise to the young people that they are listened to by many who often make shipwreck of their faith in God. One may ask, how can you tell when you meet one like this? Let me give you some clues. These unregenerated and inexperienced people, having had no touch of God, state in an air of great intellectual superiority that the Bible is no more than an almanac, that there is nothing to prayer, that Jesus was just a good man, that the hereafter is but a myth. Dear ones, the need of our day is not more psychology in order to reason things out, but more faith in God that we may believe the Bible and to know that God is going to bring the world into judgment and that all shall give account to God for their deeds and thoughts. So, these wise men came to instruct Job that he was apparently a hypocrite. Now, Job was not only fighting this battle with the afflictions and loss of his property and loved ones, but was in deadly conflict with the intellect of these smart men who would fill his mind with doubts of the reality of God and his care for Job. This battle of the intellect is no small thing. It has been known to overthrow great and talented folks. Where temptation fails or adversity, Satan calls in his smart and educated agents. God and the sacred things of the Bible are scoffed at. So, what is to be done with these doubts when they come? Let me tell you. Put them behind you. Human reasoning will not produce a spiritual relationship with God to the saving of the soul. Lay them aside and keep going on by faith. This is what Job did. If one can be made to doubt there is a God and that the moral code of right and wrong is only for extremists, then the next question is, why should I not take my fling in sin? And so often this is what happens. Instead of surrendering our intellect to doubts, let us keep going and then say with Paul, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. As Job began to grasp more faith from all those doubts projected by the so-called friends, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Then he went on to say, And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So, Job passed this sixth test of the intellect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 19. The seventh and crowning test of Job was the spiritual test. It is indeed a wonderful thing for God to manifest His presence to us in the tests and battles of life, but quite another for us to keep going by faith when apparently God has withdrawn from us and we are abandoned to our own fate. Listen to the complaint of Job. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job 23:8-9. In spite of all this spiritual conflict, yet Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Verse 10. In the crucial seventh test of his spiritual battle, Job seemed to be utterly forsaken of God. Jesus experienced the same when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. Dear ones, are you passing through a trial of some such nature as Job went through? Then, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Are you aware that Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered? Hebrews 5:8. So just remember, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10:38-39. Our Father, as we conclude this series of messages on Job, we ask the Spirit of understanding to accompany each one and make them a comfort and blessing to every listener, and thine shall be the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If we may be of some spiritual help to you, be sure to let us know. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.